As has already been mentioned, we appreciate the presence of everyone this morning, especially those who are visiting, and we're glad that you're here this morning. In our scripture reading, we, of course, know this very familiar passage where Luke records the beginning of the New Testament church. And we're studying in the book of Acts, and Jeff is doing a good job of teaching that class. As we go through the book of Acts, we see the beginning of the church and the growth of the church. I want to talk a little bit this morning about the church that multiplied. I think everybody likes church growth. Everybody likes to talk about how that we need to grow, and we certainly do. And you're thinking, well, Warfield Boulevard needs to grow, and we do, numerically and spiritually. But how does that come about? We're going to see this morning the attitudes that must be present in our lives for church growth to take place. It doesn't happen accidentally. It doesn't happen miraculously. It doesn't happen coincidentally. It happens when each member of a local church has a specific set of attitudes that they want to have in their mind and in their life. And as they display these attitudes in their life, we find that the church indeed will grow. And I want to talk this morning about the church that multiplied, and we're glad that you are here. I want you to notice something, brethren, this morning as we go through our material. We're going to focus on some attitudes that were present in this New Testament church. When you think about a New Testament church, what do you think of? A lot of times we think about, well, to be a New Testament church, we need to make sure we have the five acts of worship. And we need to make sure that we sing without an instrument and things like that. That's what a New Testament church is. And it is, and we need to preach that. And sometimes we say, well, I know that we're a New Testament church when we have Church of Christ on the sign, and we have the three works of the church: evangelism, edification, and benevolence. And when we have a scriptural organization that is elders and deacons, and we have Church of Christ on the sign, we know that we are a New Testament church. Well, that's important. And we need to keep preaching that today, and each generation needs to hear those things. But this morning, we're not going to be seeing that in the book of Acts. We're going to stay exclusively in the book of Acts this morning. You're not going to see those things. What we're going to see is attitudes that we need to have in our life. That's just as much as being a New Testament Christian as the five acts of worship and the three works of the church and the scriptural organization and the proper name. You can have all of those things that I just listed and we don't have the right attitudes in our lives. We're not a New Testament church. We're partway there. We have a lot of good things that the Lord wants in our life, but we still need to have these attitudes and these dispositions. So I want you to notice this morning that we're not going to focus on the five acts of worship and the three works of the church and the scriptural organization. We're going to focus on these attitudes that were found among brethren. And those other things that I just mentioned, of course, let me hasten to say again, they are very important, and we must preach those things. But that alone does not make us a New Testament church. We have to have these attitudes. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, we read that they continued steadfastly. I'm sorry, Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the Lord added to the church day by day. And we read in chapter 4 and verse 4 that many believers, many that heard the word believed, and in chapter 5 and verse 14, believers were the more added to the Lord, and in chapter 6 and verse 1, in the days when the disciples was multiplying, and again in verse 7, a great number of priests were obedient to the faith, and the word of God increased. In chapter 9 and verse 31, that the church was multiplied, and in chapter 12 and verse 24, the word of God grew and multiplied. Luke is telling us that this church began for the first time on the day of Pentecost, and it multiplied, it grew. But how? Let's look at the attitudes that brought about that multiplication. as I've just said, these things that we commonly look at, and maybe you were raised on hearing lessons about what are the identifying marks of the New Testament church, and maybe you remember hearing some of these kinds of things, and these are important, but we've got to have these attitudes in our life. But one other thing I want to share with you before we begin, and that is I want you to notice some things about these attitudes. They are dramatically different than what your culture is telling you today. What your culture is telling you today is that you need to have other things in your life. And I want you to notice as we go down through these things that Luke records about these brethren, they didn't have in their life the things that are being pushed on us in our culture today. They were successful because they had a separate group of attitudes in their life. They had what Christ wanted them to have. They didn't have what's going on in our modern day culture. In our culture today, you need to have an attitude that deals with your outward physical looks. You need to make sure you look a certain way and you dress a certain way and you have certain clothes. Or that you are rich, or that you're powerful, or that you're popular. Immorality is encouraged today, as is witnessed with the recent Super Bowl halftime show, which, no, I did not watch, but only saw bits and pieces of it as it was reported later, and I would not encourage other people to watch that. Immorality and vulgarity and profanity and sexual immorality and gambling and alcohol and popularity and riches and entertainment, all of that is thrust on us today, and you don't find that in the New Testament church. And if we're not careful, brethren, we'll find that these things that we're studying this morning are lacking in our life, but then what we have in our life is what culture is pushing on us. We've got to get back to seeing the attitudes and the characteristics of these early Christians and be like that. And push away and push out and push back these things that are being thrust on us in our society. Let's begin with Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. When Peter preached the first sermon there, along with the other apostles, the text says that they that heard this were pricked in the heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" May I say to you this morning as we begin that they were a spiritually minded people. And what I mean by that is they were truly convicted and converted. The text says they were pricked in their heart. These are not people that were baptized into Christ because it was just the thing to do, or mom and dad was on me about doing it, or my friends wanted me to do it, or there's some sort of pressure like that. They were truly spiritually minded. I want to get my soul right with God. And I've heard a sermon that has pricked me in my heart. I want you to underscore that in your Bible. Heart. It came from the heart. They were spiritually minded. They were truly convicted. They were truly converted. And in chapter 4 and verse 4 and chapter 6 and verse 7, when we read about people believing the gospel and when we read about people that were obedient to the faith, we're talking about spiritually minded Christians. They weren't there for social and recreational things. Their heart and their mind was turned to serving God. They repented in their lives. They turned their lives around. And this is the driving force. I want to be right with God. And because of that, it made them committed. And it made them serious about serving the Lord. It was coming from a heart that was pricked to turn around and serve God. There were no bench warmers in the Jerusalem church. There were no people there just to fill a bench and to fill a spot and to get a name checked off on a roster and to go through the motions and to just sort of do the bare minimum religion. It started in their heart and it continued from there. And that's the way it needs to be with us today. Are we spiritually minded? was our heart truly convicted and converted to serving the Lord? That's how it all begins. It begins in verse 37. The whole thing begins in verse 37. With a heart that is pricked to serve God. And when you start with that in your life and in my life, great things can be accomplished. It wasn't just, I've gotten old enough and people are kind of pushing baptism, so I guess I'll just go get baptized. And then you find later that their attendance is lacking and their service is lacking. And they weren't truly convicted and converted and committed. You say, well, I guess it's just something we should do. Notice it all began with a truly spiritually minded attitude. But then we find in verse 42 that they were also a steadfast people. This wasn't a one and done. This wasn't let's go through the motions and then drop out later. We find that they were committed. They were steadfast in their service to God. They steadfastly continued in these things that are mentioned in verse 42. And in verse 46, we find that they were continuing these things steadfastly. And in chapter 6 and verse 4, the apostle said, we will continue in the preaching of the Word of God. And we just studied this morning, Simon the sorcerer continued steadfastly with Philip. We're talking about someone who, when they started it, they carried it through in their life. You see so much today, someone is baptized and they come for a little while and then they just drop out. But you know what, brethren? We're seeing that in a lot of areas of our life. We need to get the commitment back in our life. We start a job and then we quit it. We start a marriage and then we quit it. We start school and then we quit it. We start raising kids and then we quit it. We start religion and then we quit it. That happens all the time. Now, there may be some extenuating circumstances here and there for some of those kinds of things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who just lack commitment. It's easy to start something. Anybody can start something on any day of the week. You can start anything, anytime. But they didn't start this and then just drop it. The text says over and over again that they were steadfast in their commitment. And being committed to Christ, I can't think of a greater thing in life than that. And so when we start it, let's continue it all the way through the end. Notice that they were a steadfast people. We're losing that today. Today, church is, I'll come if I can't, and you know, if something else gets in the way, then I won't do that. We let so many things hinder our service and get in the way and cause us to quit and cause us to be lukewarm, just barely holding on. Can we have a steadfast approach to serving the Lord? That's what made these Christians successful. And then add to that, turn with me to chapter 2 and verse 44, add to that that they were a sacrificial serving people. They were giving and caring. And when brethren needed things, all that believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them all according as any man had need. And we find it later with the other brethren and Barnabas himself. And in chapter 6, when there were some widows there, the plan was made to make sure that they were taken care of. We live in a culture today, it's all about me. Me. I'm the important one. I need to look out for myself. What do I feel and I think and what I want? Are we thinking about other brethren? Are we giving? Are we generous? Are we caring? Do we give every first day of the week? Some brethren are not giving every first day of the week. Are we giving every first day of the week? It's a command. And yet sometimes we think, I've spent all my money for myself and I just went on vacation and I don't have any money left or whatever. There are brethren here and abroad who are in need and we need to be caring and giving and generous. We're in a culture that says when you get stuff, just hoard it for yourself. Just keep it for yourself. You worked hard for it, so just keep it yourself and use it on yourself. We don't find that in the New Testament church. I've got things, and if other people need that, I'm here to share that with them. Notice how caring and sharing they were. And we find it over and over again. Brethren, we've got to get back in our life an attitude of sacrifice and service. These things, as I mentioned earlier, you're not going to see them in culture. They're not going to be encouraged on TikTok and Instagram. You're not going to see it there. But you see it in the divine inspired record of what God wants us to have in our life. Let's be a sacrificial and serving people. I literally, if not daily, weekly, I get texts from brethren overseas who need help with this and they need help with that. There are brethren everywhere that are in need. If not here, then we have opportunities overseas. And let's be a sacrificial, serving, caring, and sharing people. But then we find also, if you'll turn with me to chapter 2 and verse 46, we find that they were also a single-minded or single-hearted people. Today we live in a world of distractions. Our phone and everything else distracts us. We got so many things going on in our life. These brethren were single-minded and single-heartedly focused on serving the Lord. With gladness and singleness of heart, my version says, they served the Lord there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 46. They weren't distracted by jobs and school and family and hobbies and sports and other things going on. They just simply wanted to serve each other and serve the Lord. And the word there in Acts 2:46 literally means without rocks. It's used one time in the New Testament. You're walking down a pathway and there's no rocks there. It's real smooth. Rocks are not there to cause you to stumble or twist your ankle or hinder you in some way. It's without rocks is literally the word. And so it becomes smooth, and then that became known as single-hearted, single-minded, where you're just walking easily. You don't have to worry about any rocks in the pathway. Can we get that back in our life where we're focused, like Jesus said in Matthew 6 in verse 33, where we're putting the kingdom first? It's so easy to get distracted by these other kinds of things. In Acts 4:24, they lifted up their voice with one accord. And in chapter 5 and verse 12, they were all together with one accord in Solomon's porch. Can we get a sense of unity and single-mindedness back in our lives? Sometimes today, brethren, I'm concerned that the church is kind of like this peripheral thing. It's way out here on the peripheral part of our life. What's important is work, school, family, and stuff like that. And then out here on the edge is the church. And, you know, I may or may not get to it. It was the other way around with our New Testament Christians. Brethren, this is New Testament Christianity. Not just the five acts of worship, or we make sure that we immerse someone in water all the way into the water. It can't be sprinkling or pouring. And we emphasize those kinds of things, and that's great. But these attitudes are also there in the New Testament church that we need to be emphasizing. These are the things that hit close to home, that we need to make sure that we have in our life. And if, as we go down through one of these things, if we see something, myself included, as I see these things, if there's an area that I can improve upon, let's do that. And as a church as a whole here at Warfield, we will be multiplied. We find not only that they were a single-hearted people, but we also find that they were a suffering people. And they were willing to undergo great suffering. We live in a culture today that says, well, don't do anything if it's going to be difficult or hard. Try to get away from anything that is difficult or hard. And if some little something comes up in your life, then just buckle under the pressure and just throw your hands up and quit. Brethren, these folks were pressured on the outside. Start with chapter 4 and verse 1. The religious leaders of the day did not want the preaching of the gospel. And so immediately they begin to attack Peter and John. We don't want you to preach in the name of Jesus. They're thrown in jail. When they're let out of jail, they go back to preaching the word of God. These religious leaders, the Sadducees and others, don't want the preaching of the word of God, so they persecute the church. And we read this morning in class that Saul of Tarsus was engaging in that in Acts chapter 1 and 3. Entering into people's homes, the text says. Entering in. And dragging men and women, taking them off to prison. This is hard. I'm just going to quit. Today, young people and others are being conditioned to just quit under any little hardship that comes along. These brethren had great stresses laid upon them, and they remained faithful all the way through. When was the last time somebody entered into your home and drug you off into prison? That doesn't happen. And it's probably not going to happen in my lifetime. What would I have done if that had happened to me then? What would you have done? We've got to remain committed during this time of great suffering. They kept preaching. They didn't shut their mouths. They kept serving the Lord. They didn't run and hide. In fact, as we studied this morning, that this persecution actually caused them to grow, not shrink. Brethren, I don't know if we even come close today in suffering the way these brethren did. But when things come up in our life that are difficult and challenging, whether somebody says something or does something, we need to remain faithful to the Lord. And not only that, but what's impressive to me, if you'll turn with me to chapter 5 and verse 41, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. They weren't walking around with gloom and doom. Oh, we've been suffering and the suffering is terrible. But they kept a positive attitude in serving the Lord. What a great attitude that we need to have in our life today. And if things do change, it's possible that it might change in this country. I don't know. I hope not. But if things do change down the road and it becomes more difficult to exercise your God-given right to serve Christ and to worship God, and you're being persecuted in some way for that, you need to remember this lesson. You need to remember Acts chapter 4 and 5 and Acts chapter 8 and these passages that we're studying where the New Testament Christians suffered greatly. And even in Jerusalem, if you extend it on out to chapter 12, Peter is imprisoned there again. So, brethren, let's remain faithful in difficult times. And along those lines, we find that they were also a strong people. How strong are you spiritually speaking? How strong are you? We're not talking about physical strength. How bold are you for Christ today at work? How bold are you at work, at school, other places? How bold are you to stand up for Christ? Do we speak out? Do we say anything? Sometimes it's difficult to speak to a religious neighbor who has a belief that is different from the Word of God, to a boss or to a co-worker or a neighbor. It's challenging. It's difficult. Another member of the church. I just heard recently where a member of the church quit that and is now worshiping at the Methodist church. Well, what are we going to say in situations like that? What are we going to say to people? We're in a culture that says, be quiet. We're in a culture that says, if you do speak up, just make sure that everybody around you is fine. Make everybody feel good. Make everybody feel fine. And we find that these brethren were strong, spiritually speaking. They were bold and they were courageous. And the devil is trying to stop this whole thing called the church. He's trying to stop the whole thing, and yet they remain bold. And so there's some passages that you'll see here on the PowerPoint that have the word boldness in it. For example, chapter 4, verse 13, and other places. But it's not just where there are verses that say boldness. Turn with me to Acts 3 in our scripture reading this morning around the Lord's table. Peter tells these people, you are the ones who have crucified Jesus. You have crucified God, glorified His servant, and you delivered Him up. Told them the truth. They were not mean about it, but they were strong about it. Are we a spiritual pushover? Are we a spiritual lightweight? Or do we actually have the strength to tell people what they need to hear when they need to hear it? In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, Peter says, in none other is there salvation. Boy, you would get run out of a room today if you said the only way to go to heaven is Jesus Christ. You would get run out of a room if you don't also uphold Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, and any other kind of ism. You get run out of a room. He said there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. We're losing that today. Just to say, well, there's just one way. We're losing that today. And brethren, we've got to have that attitude in our life. That doesn't mean we're mean. It doesn't mean I raised my voice there a little bit. You don't even have to raise your voice. We've got to be firm. And I want our young people to hear this because you're in a culture, even if you're worshiping in churches of Christ, where I can't keep up with everything in the pulpit across the world, but from what I hear, it just seems like we're getting a softer, kinder, gentler Christianity. And we're losing our spiritual boldness. What did the religious leaders behold? What did they see in Peter and John? Acts 4:13. And when they beheld what they were wearing, is that what the text says? Boy, look at the nice clothes that they're wearing. Acts 4:13. When they beheld how they combed their hair. When they beheld what they rode up on when they came to Jerusalem. Well, I can tell he's got a brand new donkey. Peter coming up here on a brand new donkey. When they beheld their boldness. Brethren, we're getting away from things that we need to have in our life. And we're getting away from that and having things that culture is pushing on us. And we've got to get back to this New Testament Christianity that we see in this New Testament church. Chapter 5, verse 29, we must obey God rather than men. That takes some strength to say that. And to rejoice in the presence of those who are persecuting you. And to go back into the temple, Acts 5:42, and keep preaching Jesus. It takes boldness. This is not arrogance. This is boldness. And we need to be spiritually strong to tell people the truth that they need to hear. And they were also a prayerful people. They were always supplicating and appealing to God for help. They continued steadfastly in the prayers. A prayer life is a very important attitude. Sometimes I'll talk with someone who claims to be a Christian and they'll say, well, I'm having trouble praying and I don't pray a whole lot and I can't make a habit of prayer. They were a prayerful people because they relied upon God. They needed God. And when Peter and John come back to their own people, they offer up a prayer to God in chapter 4 and 31. When they prayed, the place was shaken. There's constant reliance upon the Word of God and speaking to God in prayer. And the apostles say in chapter 6 and verse 4, we're going to continue steadfastly in prayer. We commonly think of the apostles as focusing on gospel preaching, and they did that. But they say, we're going to focus also on prayer. And when they chose these men to help, what did they do? When they prayed, they laid their hands. How prayerful are we? about things that come up in our life? Is that the immediate reaction when things come up in life to pray to God? I love that song that we sang recently. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? We face things all the time, all day long, that stress us and cause us problems. Did you think to pray about that? These Christians faced all of these kinds of things with prayer. And when Peter was in prison, we're told in chapter 12 and verse 5 that prayer was made earnestly of the church unto God for him. Same thing in chapter 12 and verse 12. Let's be a person that is constantly praying to God for help in growing. And we can pray to God for these things that we've just been talking about. If I am not as spiritually minded and steadfast and sacrificial and single-hearted and so forth, Lord, help me to be more of that. Constantly pray. Constantly pray. That's what made them have such great success. But you know what we find in this New Testament church that really stands out? And we need this lesson greatly today because we live in a culture of softness. We live in a culture where upholding law and following law is falling apart slowly. We've got new generations coming along that, well, I'll just act any way I want and live any way I want. And we find that the New Testament church was a very serious and strict people. I think we're losing some of that today. Today, anything goes. You can live any way you want and be a member of a particular church. Live any way you want, doesn't matter, act any way you want. That was not the case of the New Testament church. We find at the very beginning in Acts chapter 2 and verse 43 that fear came upon them all. And in chapter 5, when Ananias and Sapphira are struck dead for lying, today, lying's not a big deal. Lying is a very big deal. Paul said, lie not one to another. In Revelation 21:8, all liars will have their part that burns in the lake of fire. All liars. But somebody says, lying's not a big deal. Everybody lies. Politicians lie, and preachers lie, and people lie. Everybody lies. All liars are going to burn in hell if we're not forgiven of that sin. All of them. So, lying is a big deal. And Ananias and Sapphira are struck dead for it. And the people feared. This is a serious situation. This is a serious body called the church. The church is serious. The church is not a game. The church is not some social club where you pay dues, you may or may not be there, and you kind of in and out and act any way you want. Sometimes I'll be there and then I'll be gone for months or maybe even years and waltz back in and nothing happens. It's a serious relationship. And all of us need to take it seriously and strictly. We're so used in our culture to have this loosey-goosey approach to marriage and loosey-goosey approach to church and work and other relationships, just whatever, anything goes. And I fear in some denominations, one reason why you have thousands upon thousands in their membership is anything goes. If you got strict all of a sudden and cleaned house and the leadership stood up and said, well, we're going to start taking strictly every relationship in your life, including your marriage and so forth, I bet you wouldn't see 20,000 the next Sunday. Look at Acts chapter 9 with me. With regard to someone coming, placing membership, they were serious. Paul wanted to come and place membership at the Jerusalem church. He attempted to join himself to the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. And it took Barnabas, verse 27, to talk with them about how that Paul had been converted. They didn't just say, well, come on in. No questions asked. they were concerned about this man. And they listened to Barnabas' testimony, and he was allowed to go in and out among them. Very serious relationship. Coming in needs to be taken seriously. Staying in needs to be taken seriously. And that's what we find in the New Testament church. And there needs to be that level of seriousness, because in our culture, it has fallen away. Acts chapter 5, verse 11, "And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all that heard these things." Church discipline needs to be exercised in such a way that the whole church knows what is going on, so the whole church can hear what has been going on and what the leadership is taking action on, so that the rest of us can fear. Attendance is taken seriously, our personal lives are taken seriously, or whatever the case might be. And then we find in the very next few verses that the church grew. It's interesting how often in these first few chapters you'll find some of these attitudes are displayed, and then a verse says, "and the church grew." And some of these attitudes are displayed, and then the church grew. They're directly connected. Let's be, and I believe we are, and I want us to continue to be, a serious, strict relationship in this congregation. Two more and we'll close. They were a sounding people. They sounded out the Word of God. They talked with their friends and neighbors. They preached the Word of God, and it started on the day of Pentecost, and they just kept preaching, preaching, and preaching. Let's talk with our friends and neighbors. Yes, the apostles did that early on, but we find in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4 that the whole church was scattered and the whole church went everywhere preaching the word. Let's take the saving gospel of Jesus Christ to others. Let's sound out the word of God. Let's not let any obstacle stand in the way, whether it's persecution or someone saying, "No, you can't do that," or discouragement or lack of conversions. Not everybody was converted in Jerusalem. There were many people. We're told that many believed. We're told that more than once. But many did not believe. But we can't let a lack of obedience to discourage us. Persecution, pressure, those kinds of things. They just kept sounding out the Word of God. And every day in the temple and at home, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus as the Christ. And this is how they grew. This is how they were multiplied. And so, when something comes up in the local church, if you look at Acts chapter 6, there was a little bit of a situation there where they needed to make sure that these widows were not being neglected in their daily ministration. Notice how the whole thing didn't just come to a standstill. They handled that while simultaneously continuing to preach the Word of God. So when things come up in our lives, let's simultaneously handle that and deal with that, but let's keep preaching the Word of God to others. And let's keep sounding out the Word of God. What a great thought that is. And when Paul was added to the number, he was added to the faith. In chapter 9, verses 28 and 29, he was going in and out at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. So family, friends, co-workers, neighbors, let's sound out the message. Boy, today it's about sounding out every other message. Use your phone or other devices to sound off on all kinds of things. We need to be sounding forth the Word of God, the saving message, so that people can be forgiven of their sins. And then last of all, one last thing I want to talk about. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Let's have this attitude in our life. They, having all of these great attitudes, they had this attitude of, we're going to stand out. We're going to be distinctive. We're going to follow Christ the way He wants us to follow Him. We're not going to just come along and just be like everybody else in town. We're going to be distinct and stand out because we're following the gospel of Christ. In our culture today, it's the opposite. Fit in. Blend in. Say what everybody else is saying. No. We're going to preach the old time Jerusalem gospel, and we're going to stand out. We're not going to preach a plan of salvation that's just like the denominational world. We're not going to offer a worship service that's just like the rest of the churches in Clarksville. Praising God and having favor with all the people. The people recognized something different about them. And in chapter 3 and verse 11, the people ran together when they beheld Peter and John. All the people ran together under the porch that is called Solomon, greatly wondering. Now, we don't do miracles today. But in the other things that we offer, we need to stand out. One of the pressures that is happening among churches of Christ today is blend in, fit in, change the preaching in the pulpit so that you don't stand out, but you sound like just any other denomination that's in town. People took notice of these Christians because they were standing out in what they were doing. They beheld the boldness of Peter and John, chapter 4, 13, because they are different. In chapter 4 and verse 21, the people, for all men, glorified God for that which was done. They were raising eyebrows, as it were. And some are even glorifying God. Look at chapter 5 and verse 11. We read that earlier. Fear came upon the whole church and upon all that heard these things. Verse 13, but of the rest dared no man join himself to them, howbeit the people magnified them. They recognized that this was a serious church, and the people magnified them? Why? Because they're different. It wasn't the same old Sanhedrin. It wasn't the same old Pharisee. It wasn't the same old Jerusalem Judaism. And so we make our mark in this community by following the New Testament gospel and being distinctive and standing out. And in chapter 5 and verse 26, for they feared the people lest they should be stoned. There was a reputation in town of this being a standout people of God. Reggie, we're done there if you want to load our song. Thank you for your time this morning. You see, it's not just about the five acts of worship and the three works of the church and scriptural organization. It's also about these godly attitudes that made the church great. And that church multiplied over and over and over again. Let's have these attitudes in our life here at Warfield Boulevard. And we'll find that this church will be multiplied as well. If we can help you in your life to come and be baptized into Christ, we're going to sing this song, Come to Jesus. Today you can do that. We're not given a promise of tomorrow. Let us help you to do that. Or as a child of God, maybe you've said, well, I've not had these kind of attitudes and I need to do better. And I want to let others know that I'm doing better. We can help you with that as well. But let's go out and have these New Testament attitudes just as much as New Testament practices. Let's have these New Testament attitudes. If we can help you in some way, come to the Lord. Why won't you come as we stand and sing?